and Charles is turning in the sun. And I can hit all these beautiful low bass notes that I never, ever can hit normally. She goes down to the honky-tonk. She goes down to the honky-tonk. She goes down, 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 down to the honky-tonk. And I had such a good time just singing.
Pet Shop Boys?
Not too many Pet Shop Boys.
That's not Pet Shop Boys.
That was not, no. Anyway, it's these dudes, they do a YouTube channel, and they, you know, kind of do like a country version of certain songs and whatnot. I mean, that one, you're going down to the honky-tonk, it's already pretty country up anyway. I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host, Ian, and despite the fact that my voice isn't working perfectly, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I immediately need to take a sip of water because it's just going to go downhill from here.
You're in the red cup. I'm in the blue cup.
That's fair. We are hot and cold. We are yes and no.
You appear to have the same glass. Can you hold your glass up again?
Mine has ridges. It's like got little straight edges. And it used to have, in fact, I think it still does have, the dollar store $1 ticket on the bottom of it.
It does. It still has that. I see it. That's very classy.
So it's, I think, I don't even remember why I got that. I just needed some sort of cup one day to hold water, and I got it, and I always have it down here now. It's warm. Yes.
It's sticky in here.
It is freaking humid. It is some sticky, gross nonsense around.
Yeah.
Sticky. But to try to quell that, I meant to put these in the fridge, and I didn't. So they're not ice cold. They're not cold. They're cool-ish. So I'm hopefully going to be getting a lot of flavor. The reason my voice is like this, I came down with something. I felt kind of sick on Sunday, really sick yesterday. And then I'm feeling better as of today. So my throat's coming back. I was a little worried about my sense of smell. And then numerous times today, I started getting a whiff of something. I said, oh, what's that smell? And I could catch these subtle smells that were in the air. And I thought, oh, okay, I think I will do okay in a beer review tonight. This is we should just go ahead and do this because I have confidence. So hopefully, I will be leaning on you a bit more in voice, but and also possibly flavor opinion. Because if I taste this and just go, I don't know. You'll not know who's talking.
Mine's going to be a degree or two colder than yours, I think, because when I came in from work, I threw them straight in the freezer, and they've got that lovely, and because it's so humid and sticky in here right now, the condensation is all over, they're dripping, so they are colder, though, than yours, I think.
So,
one of the cans is what I don't...
We went with dark lagers, because I thought these were kind of different, you know, you don't see them a lot, but now all of a sudden I think we've got at least four. And in fact, the Schwartz beers, did we not do Schwartz beers recently?
They're not dark lagers, no, that because Schwartz beers have been going for many, 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 many years in Germany, but dark lagers have only become a thing in the last sort of few relatively short time. They're not the same.
Okay, so maybe a Schwartz beer is a Germanic dark lager, and these are just not. Yeah. I mean, I'll accept that. So we did get a couple of dark lagers, just because there are a few others, and they're just dark lagers. We do have some Schwartz beers in there. So between dark lagers and Schwartz beers, there's at least five waiting to go. A few to go. But just picking two, and I was trying to pick some that we hadn't drank from their wares. Wares, am I pronouncing that correctly? The North Brewing Company is first out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, where I'm currently located. Behind me, just by the magic of green screen, is the Dartmouth Dark, a coffee-infused dark lager. And what I like about this one is I think it's a goose.
Yeah.
So it's a dark, and it's on like a little pond, a little moonlit pond the whole way around. So my mind thinks that is Sullivan's Pond, which is right kind of smack dab in the middle of Dartmouth, but they have goose crossings. They have famous geese that the citizens in and around the area, including my mother, who lives kind of close to Sullivan's Pond, she knows how many geese there are year by year. And when one goes missing or one dies, the community notices. It's a big thing.
I know. I've never even heard of Sullivan's Pond.
I like that that's on there. So I've got a description on the website and a description on the can. So we'll start with the can. It is a 4.5%. So we're drinking it first. And we're stoked to have worked with our friends at Anchored Coffee to develop this unique brew, a dark lagered ale with notes of chocolate and dried fruit packed with a delicate coffee flavor imported by an expertly crafted cold brew. Okay. On the website, it says, the most thirst-quenching dark beer we love to brew and drink all year round. Debittered specialty black malts. Debittered. That's the word of the day.
Yeah.
Debittered specialty black malts keeps the burnt tannins out of this fun and delicate beer that we infuse with cold brew coffee from Anchored Coffee. So a bit more information, but it doesn't... The can says dried fruit. The website doesn't.
So Anchored Coffee is a local specialist coffee place in the city.
Yes.
It's but rather like Pan or Just whatever.
I think so. I'm not sure if they're a fair trade company. I mean, we could go down the rabbit hole and look up everything about everybody, but I'm fine with just saying they are a local coffee company, and that's fine.
And they've got to be tip for them.
Now I've got, what's that? My old something. My old rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo, and then I've just got debittered and brew. When I heard the word debitter, all I could think of was that song.
I've never heard of it.
Never heard that?
I don't know what you were singing.
Very folky.
I've cracked it.
It's kind of it's one of those folky songs that you have to get kids to sing along with, where you you say, my old cow goes, and then all the kids in the audience go, moo! Mm-hmm. And my old pig goes, and so it's like Old MacDonald Had a Farm, but it's way more... It's complicated of a melody. This has got some head to it. I'm digging the
phone. Why does my beer smell of fish?
Well, you did say, is it going to be like the Beth's Black? This is...
The oyster. Oyster stout, that wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. That's a good one. It's very light in color, and yet it's difficult to see through, but it... This smells of a stout. But, wait. Okay, so I'm getting a coffiness off of the coffee stout smell, but...
Tin can. You think it's the can that smells fishy?
Yeah, smells like a tuna can.
There we go. It smells like a tuna can. Yes, it does.
Why did you smear tuna all over your can?
I didn't think I did, mate.
No.
Noisy car. This one of those noisy cars.
This should be a lesson to us. We should go in and... Because wasn't my can... The can top was dirty last week as well. We should be scrubbing our aluminum cans before we start this.
The can doesn't smell like it, but... Oh, less so... Oh, no, it still smells of tuna. Did I drink a can of tuna from my pint glass?
Old cans smell of tuna fish.
I don't remember doing that, but
goes.
Hey, Stranger Things. It's all in the glass.
Same. Yes, I chose the large glasses this week. Right. I am smelling both a coffee stout, but I'm also underneath of that. It smells like a lager. So it's kind of both. If you can get your snout past your tuna fish, you'd probably be.
I can. It does smell lagerish, but
it's so...
maybe a little maltier than if I can get, like you said, get past a skipjack tuna smell. No, it smells lagery. I'm not smelling, to be honest, mate. I'm not getting any coffee yet. I'm getting
You're
a bit
not
of
getting
malt.
A bit of coffee? Okay.
Not really. No,
the can promised a little bit of coffee and a bit of dried fruit and a tiny bit of chocolate. Now, I would love all of those. So, honestly, the one thing that I'm hoping for the most here is the debittering. Debrew.
I don't burn roast in a beer. Oh, you're going for it, are you? I don't mind it. So, but they've said they've taken it out. So, so I'm not even going to get one. I don't mind.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. I just
cheers.
You don't want that on the back end of a lager. Cheers.
Mm. Oh. Yes. There's no fish in there whatsoever.
Nope.
So I'm getting the fruit straight away, actually. That's really weird. But there is
man.
It's like chocolate, no. But a little bit of coffee. I'm getting the fruit. Isn't that weird?
I'm wondering if my cold/mild virus is taking some of the flavor out of this, because I feel like it's there, but it tastes hollow.
It's a bit strange. it's a bit strange. That's not a very nice thing to say about someone's complex flavors. It's a bit strange.
I'm getting the coffee up front. A tiny bit of dried fruit.
Fruit.
Which is a bit of a. Oh, is that me? Like, is that? I don't know, because I've been filling myself full of Halls and Fisherman's Friends all day. So am I just taking that from my cheeks?
This is really odd.
Okay. I think I like dark lagers, but I worry sometimes that if the lager base hasn't been done right enough, and then they obviously it obviously starts as a lager, and then you.
It's cold filtered, isn't it? That's why. It's cold brewed. That's why it sort of makes it rather. I mean, they still add plenty of malt to it, like you would a stout, but it's brewed at a colder temperature for longer. Excuse me. So it gives it that lagery, lagerishness, if you want. So it's quite malty though.
Why am I not malty, tasting that? I'm sad.
But not thick. It's not thick, but it's. I can definitely taste the malt. Okay. I'm getting no chocolate, mate. If it's one of those subtle notes of, then then I need it to be more subtle than that, because I'm not getting any chocolate. But there's definitely some coffiness to it, and yes, fruity, and it's quite. Ross, it's quite light.
Well, it's a 4.5%, so it's definitely not going to be heavy. Doesn't say where's some of the things where it sometimes tells you the ABV. No, not the ABV. The IBUs.
It's malty, but
in the HPVs and the PBSs. No, HDT. It doesn't want to tell me. Yeah, it doesn't want to tell me any of those. No HDTV or.
Get your laughing gear around that, darling. Give it a taste.
I have folk songs in my mouth.
She's got folk songs in her mouth. Well, take some of the fish and tuna. Oh, she's now got folk.
She knows the song I'm talking about. That's right.
Well, she's folky through and through.
I know the Pet Shop Boys song, too.
She knows the Pet Shop Boys. Excellent. Isn't that weird?
Pretty subtle.
Pretty subtle, she said. Can you taste chocolate?
Mm-mm.
Nor can I.
No, the chocolate is missing. It would be nice to be in there. This could use a bit of a sweet flavor because I'm getting a bit of a bitter sourness at the end of it, which I wasn't expecting.
You both said that. You might not be able to taste anything, Ross, but you've got better taste than I have.
That smells
crazy. It's a funny smell, isn't it? Yeah, I know. It's a funny smell, but it's not ruining the beer. For me, it just has a kind of a funny.
It's a little flat. Maybe it's Ross's flat, or is it?
Is yours flat?
No, they because we got lots of the foam and the head on. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was just.
I'm trying to read wood for something.
Oh, mine.
Yeah. Wood for sheep. Gatham. Oh,
it's
lost.
From the board game Settlers of Catan. Where you trade resources, and so you're always asking wood for sheep.
Okay. I'm out of my neck.
You've never played Settlers of Catan? How long have we been friends? Yeah, we don't really do the board games thing, do we?
You have? Oh, she's heard of it. I've never heard of it. It's a board game and not a video game.
It's a...
Correct.
A sweeping, all-encompassing...
Is it as good as Clue?
It's like... what's the one that starts with...
Clue takes too long.
Risk.
What's the one that starts? Oh God, Risk takes forever.
It's shorter than Risk. It's
never going to play that.
I'm trying to think of honestly, it's a bit more like chess.
Yeah, they're called board games for a reason. Okay.
Oh, so someone doesn't like board games then.
Moving on.
Is this what you're saying? Well, right then, righty-o. As I put on my extremely deep voice for that one.
I quite like Kaplunk. You could play that on a board.
I bought that.
Kaplunk.
I own Kaplunk.
It is
upstairs. I saw it on the shelf. I've been looking for it for 5 years. It was on the shelf at Walmart 2 months ago, and it was the only copy left, and it cost me $20.
Right, who is it by now? Is it by MB Games or something like that?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I also like Mousetrap.
Have that.
You got that?
Good. Yep. Joe and I used to play that all the time.
Right. Well, then I'm coming over.
Okay. Yeah. We have our own little board game night. I think we need to do this more. Well, see, I know friends, and my friends are board game enthusiasts. They love board games, and not just that, you know, you sort of sit around and you play Monopoly and then you play Risk afterwards, because I knew those people. These are people who say, oh, this is this game I just got from Sweden. It cost $173. It takes 5 days to play, and it's called something like the Crimson Armies of the Village of Tuscany or something like that. And it's got this big long name, and it takes forever to learn the rules to. But my friends love these kinds of things. In fact, shameless plug, July 14th, so two weekends from now, in Kentville, specifically at the Kentville Fire Hall, is King Con, the Kings County Convention of Board Game Enthusiasts, and they're going to play board games at the Fire Hall all weekend long. I'll see if I have some spare time to stop by, because that's all my friends. Those are my friends, and they do this. This is their thing. They just want to sit around and play a board game. Sunrise to sunset.
Dan and Manda will be there, because they are big board game enthusiasts, aren't they?
They will be, because of the five people on the board. The members of the board of King Con, Dan is one of them, and I know the other four. You know at least three of the other four. Because it's, I believe, you know Aaron of Dead Sheep Scrolls fame.
Yep.
And who? Dwayne, you know.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that you know Kim O'Connor. You might not have met her, because I've only met her through board games. You know how the rest of them do other things? She only does board games.
Yeah.
She only does
that.
And,
of course, when I was mentioning Kerplunk and...
I doubt they'll be playing Kerplunk. But if you're free, like I need to do the math on this. What's going on? Oh, wait. Are you away on the 14th? Is that the beginning of your...
Not only am I away, but I'm 3,000 miles away.
Okay, you're far too away. Because I would have loved to just walk in and say, right, Ian and I are here for King Con. We brought our own board game, sit down, and played Kerplunk.
I'm flying
in their establishment.
That's my excuse. Oh, damn, I would have made it otherwise.
Now, if I do my math, let me quickly check this. King Con 2023, pardon my coughing.
Yeah,
as I will do consistently. This is my cure. I think I sound better. My cure for and we're back for 2020. Okay, blah 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 blah. Oh, it starts on the 14th. That's the Friday, and you leave on the 14th, the Friday.
I do.
Biscuits.
I do.
I was hoping that maybe it was like a day or earlier before, and then we could go in. All right. I don't get to go and play Kerplunk at my other friends' board game.
I like that too, but that's not a board game either, is it? That's just
I think it counts.
What about things like, I mean, you mentioned Pictionary. Is that a board game?
Yes.
Yep.
It can be. Those are my favorite types of board game, because they involve creativity.
Yeah, and fun.
As opposed to just, because we used to play Candyland. We managed to land a copy of Candyland.
My kids had Candyland. I played that.
Classic board game. And I learned one day that the thing is, you shuffle the things, and when you flip it over, that tells you how many spaces you move. Like, it's not rolling of the dice. It's you flip the card over, and then it's your turn to move. So basically, as soon as you shuffle the deck, the game has been decided. It is in there.
Oh.
All the moves in the game, in turn, are in that deck. You just need to flip over the cards fast enough. So we invented a game called Speed Candyland, where with four players flipping over and moving your piece as fast as possible, how fast can you complete a game of Candyland just by doing your move and flipping it over and making sure everyone goes in the right turn? 45 seconds. we have completed a game of Speed Candyland in 45 seconds.
Now that's the kind of board game I'm interested in. Have you ever played Uno, but the one with the electronic thing which throws cards at you whenever you What's it? It's a, there's a specific variation of Uno.
Uno, and it, you, but you know, with a catapult?
Catapult Uno. It does. You put all the cards into it, this little machine, and it throws the cards out at you every time. So you know how many cards you're going to get. So you might think you're almost one, and then you have it. And I've forgotten what the damn thing is called, but I played that with the kids so many times. It's so much fun.
Uno Flip.
You're looking it up, aren't you?
Uno Attack Jurassic World Supercharged Uno Showdown.
That sounds awesome. Cranium is good fun. I've played that a bunch of times.
Cranium's all right. We had a French version of that. Have you ever played Perfection? We're getting away from board games now because Perfection is just a puzzle game but with electronics.
Never heard of that one.
So you have to put puzzle pieces in the right spot or the whole board times down, and then when it runs out of time, it pops all the pieces back up in your face.
Right. Good times. I haven't. I would be interested in that, I'm sure. Something, anything that's got, like, what things are going to happen that you don't expect it to, like Kaplunk, or like Buckaroo, or Operation, or, you know, those kind of games, where it's skill than just...
But that's more of a gimmick kind of game. Like the old, do you ever see the one where you have to pick the teeth out of the alligator, or... What was the one? Don't it's wake daddy, and you have to not make any noise while playing the game, or else the figure wakes up.
Yeah, it's the same. That's right. And he wakes up and he sits up in bed. Those are the kind of things that you can play when a bunch of adults could probably get.
Friends of ours, Dan and Amanda and Aaron and Dwayne, when they get together, they play the Crimson Economy. Of the Balkan Islands or something like that. And they just sit down and they say, right, on this turn, I have to make sure that I save two cards in order to buy enough iron next turn so that I can start my foundry because I just purchased that with 9 gold because you start every game with 12 gold, but that leaves me 3 gold left over that I have to buy the pottery wheel.
Ross, this is games of severe strategy.
Now,
I'm not sure whether or not I have not been diagnosed yet, but I've got a sneaky feeling I have ADD, which is probably why Kaplunk and Operation and Buckaroo are more appetizing to me than sitting around and playing Risk for 73 hours.
I sit down and play a game of Risk with people, and I sit down and I play a game of these huge, incredible strategy games with my friends, but the thing is, I play one game start to finish, and then I say, right, my brain says, what next? But I'm sitting around with 7 people, and they all say, we'll do that one again? And I'm just thinking, oh my god, oh, that was 3 hours of the hardest math thinking I have done since university, and no, I don't want to do that one again. No, thank you. I'm good.
Sounds like prison. Sounds like school.
Well, I will not drag you to King Kong, but everyone else, if you have any interest in board games, you should go check it out, because they are wonderful things, and they are delightful people, and they are very inclusive, and, ooh, that's another thing I was thinking of. I was listening today to a lot of the information on, especially in the Annapolis Valley, having a number of Pride events and how excited they are that there's a lot of Pride events happening, whereas last year they had 4 Pride events, and this year they have 5 full days, and they're just full of events in them. So there's so many events. One of the events they did not mention was King Con, so I think, I know they're wicked inclusive, so I think they should partner up or just at least give a little bit of a mention. So This is me just saying aloud what I need to remember to do. I'm going to write an email. Can you tell that this is all very good for my voice?
Yeah. I mean, I finished work at 7, and I was... it wasn't too bad at work today. Not too sticky. I got in, of course, like 7:15, threw myself in the shower, cleaned myself off, threw the beers in the freezer. And as soon as I'm done with you, mate, I'm going to go jump in the shower again. It is so disgustingly sticky, is sitting in here.
Yes.
I'm sweating and it's dripping down my back, and it's just nasty. What happened to the weather?
Yeah. Do you remember the few times when you would come over and we would do some of these, but we'd do them upstairs and I'd turn off the air conditioner and it would just be us in that little room. And at the very beginning, we were perfectly comfortable. But then by the end of the episode, we were just dying.
Well, I'm going to do at least one from your abode this summertime, hopefully from the deck. But you know what? Since it's been raining every day since we prayed for rain, when the whole of Nova Scotia caught fire a month ago, it hasn't bloody stopped, have it? And we haven't had any We've had a couple of sunny days, but we've had a couple.
It's said to be, the next couple of days are said to be quite nice. But here, I'm listening outside. Right now is the result of what happens if you have 9 weeks of rain, and then the first night that isn't raining, there's about 6 lawnmowers going on outside. So I'm kind of glad that I'm in here and the delightful soundproof basement. And I'm keeping this bit. I have to save a bit as well because I really want the comparison, but I'm still getting fully coffee. However, if you ask me what this tastes like, I'd say this tastes like a dark lager with a coffee flavoring to it. So,
well, it has been. I mean, what do they say? It's been. What's the name of that place again? Anchored Coffee. So they threw some of the cold, the iced coffee in there to give it the subtle coffee flavor. Mm-hmm. It does have subtle fruitness to it as well, but don't ask me which ones. It tastes a tiny bit strawberryish. With your lack of taste buds right now, with your cold, are you getting a bit of that summer fruitiness? I would say, but not. It's not giving me any. I mean, you just both mentioned a little bit of sour. It's not giving me any of that kind of what have they got? Tropical fruit stuff like mango or pineapple or grapefruit. None of that. It's got a little bit of maybe strawberryness to it, but I'm definitely getting some fruitiness.
Okay, yeah, I can get that. It's mostly coming through as a really weird sort of bittery sour flavor, but I think that might be the dried fruit coming through on the end. I wouldn't ask for a second one of these, but I think it's doing exactly what it's supposed to.
Right, I wouldn't ask for one either. I'm not a lover of this. Dark lagers to me, weirdly, dark lagers, white stouts, up is down, down is up, left is right, and everything seems to have gone upside
Katy
down.
Katy Perry songs, yeah.
That's right, but darker, it's crazy. What a world we live in since COVID started. But I should love dark lagers, because I'm not a lager fan per se.
I know.
I prefer darker ales, but this... So I'm kind of drawn to the idea of a dark lager, which has got a more maltiness to it, a bit more of the old oxy thingies in it that stouts have. And they're supposed to be better for you, all these things, than your regular lager. So I should like it, but I'm not loving this. It's not doing a huge deal for me, to be honest.
Yeah, but I still think that for a dark lager... I think it's done at least an 8.0 out of 10.
That's
on a full scale of beers, this is lower down. This is a 6 for me, for drinkability, for personal drinkability. But
I see what you're saying about the sour. There's something there. Yeah, I can get that with the fruitiness to it, but not the sort of the typical passion fruit. Guava fruit and all that stuff that they want to throw into sours to try and make them, and end up making me go blah. It's subtle, but I don't really want another pint of this because it's still not very. Yeah, it's not doing a great deal.
I don't.
You're not sure about this one, are you?
I don't get their motive. I don't see what they were going for.
Coffee and dried fruit with a bit of chocolate.
What I want. Is an easy drinking lager like the Toller Gold, but a delicious malty back end like Old Biddy's Irish Red. That's it. Exactly. That's what I'm expecting when someone says, "Oh, try a malty dark lager." Okay. Now I will say the dark cream ale from Hell Bay. I know I haven't had it in a couple of years. That one won me over on this whole concept of it's a light beer but it's dark colored. Yeah. I love that one. I know you didn't like it as much.
Okay. Well, thanks for reminding me, because it was...
If you couldn't remember. Here, let me tell you your opinions.
Thank you for telling my opinion.
I'll have the steak, and my date will have the salad.
That's something we had 2 years ago. But having said that, North Brewing, we've had some good stuff from there, haven't we? It's really good. And are they behind you, Ross?
North Brewing is behind me, yes. I am switching over. I'm switching to Uncle Leo's as we speak.
I didn't mark that. I didn't give that the old Granger mark out of 10. I'm going to give it out of 10 just to be crazy and out there.
Yeah. I'm still... Because
The can is nice.
The can is nice. Yeah, the can is nice.
The can is gorgeous. I do love the can. I do love the nice deep green on that.
I don't know.
And the silhouette of the goose.
I did. I'd give that.
But was it doing what you thought it was supposed to? Was it doing what it said it was going to do?
No.
No. Oh.
No, I didn't get the coffee really. There was a bit of coffee to it. Yes, okay, fair enough. Yes, there was some coffiness to it. There was zero chocolate. You said, is it doing what it said? And I did get a little bit of fruitiness as well there. So yeah, I suppose it did. It just didn't work for me as a flavour.
No.
Did it give you lager?
Yes, it gave me dark lager. So it did what it said on the can.
It's kind of dark. Maybe I don't like dark lagers, or maybe no one's making a good one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it.
6.5, 6 out of 10. I'm probably being nice by giving it 6. Because it did not do
it. It's kind of where I was. I'm trying to give it better marks because on a scale of dark lagers, it's probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I have made a small mistake, and that is the Uncle Leo's I get it as a nautical illusion, but instead of nautical, it's nactical, because it's a Schwartz beer. This one isn't a dark lager. I was wrong.
Yeah, so when you said that earlier, I thought it is a Schwartz beer. It's kind of different from, well, it is a little bit, but this is more of a traditional German dark beer, but it does, it's more like an Alt, but of course it's darkish. Just go for it. You can't compare them. They're apples and oranges, but go for it anyway.
Why is it? Because one is a dark lager and this is a German dark lager? Schwarz beer is German for black beer and originated in southeastern Germany, but unlike British-style dark ales, this German-style black lager does not display the roasted grain flavors and aromas found in most stouts. Instead, it produces very mild notes of chocolate, coffee, or vanilla.
And dried fruits.
No dried fruits in this one, so we can't get the sour. Okay. I love how they've still got the coming soon up there. However, it does say the awards this has won. 2017 Atlantic Canada Beer Awards Silver, 2019 Down East Brewing Awards Gold, and it is a rather basic can. You've got your blue stripe across the top, and then just basically kind of a like a star field, or just pictures of what is that, moisture, I guess, little water droplets, and then the scripted font type of, and then just written nautical illusion across the in the blues, the baby blue, I guess, and the Uncle Leo's down at the bottom. Now, again, another mention for the Uncle Leo's no longer being in business. April, I think they announced that, and they said our final one we will be closing at the end of April, and it was about 2 days to go.
Right,
go buy a glass.
Can I ask you though? Because I really should look this up. Okay. Uncle Leo's and the Whiffen Brewing Company.
Yes.
Did Uncle Leo's, I'm saying did because obviously they are no more now, is the Whiffen Brewing Company a bigger entity altogether? Do they encompass many microbreweries? Or... yeah, I see that. I see that behind you, the Uncle Leo's Brewery. But is it rather like Molson owning a bunch of smaller brewers? Is that how it works?
It's not. It's more like the Millstone Harvest Brew House serving C-level beer. They're the same thing, but one company, the Whiffen Brewing Company, is the brew, but Uncle Leo's Brewery is like the serving company. You go to the Millstone Harvest Brew House is where they make C-level beer.
Yeah.
The Whiffen Brewing Company is where they make Uncle Leo's beer.
So the Whiffen Brewing Company.
They're one and the same. The Whiffen Company, it's Whiffen Company and Uncle Leo's, they all folded.
Okay, they also Whiffen went with it, right? It's not as if they're going to continue with other brewing companies. Sorry, other brew brewing establishments. Okay, so Whiffen have gone under. That's what you're saying.
They've shut down. They've closed shop. I don't have. I have fewer details than you do. I mean, I felt like reaching out and sort of saying, "Hey, do you want to come and talk about?" But who would want to do that? Oh, yeah, we'll come on your show and talk about beer, even though we're not doing it anymore. Because what if it's something like, no, we've had a big fight and, you know, lawsuits. I don't want to get dragged into all of that. What I do want to do, however, is try this, because this is a 5.0%. And there's been some good reviews. Everyone's saying, yes, you should definitely try the Nacht. How would you say this? Am I saying this right? Would you say the nautical?
Nacht, of course, is night. That's all it means. Night in German, and all they've used is a play on words. Rather than being optical illusion, they're saying nautical illusion. So the fact that it's night and dark, etc. So that's what it is.
An optical illusion at night. In German.
Yeah, why not?
Well done.
In German. Right. Good.
Very clever.
And because German, I've got my German glass out again. I haven't had this out for a number of weeks. I dusted her off, and she doesn't smell of tuna. So this one should be good.
Check the can. We should have checked the can before we opened it. My can smells like beer.
Excellent.
My can of tuna smells deceptively of beer. And my old rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh.
We're going to teach you that song. Oops.
Great song.
Great song.
It's a builder.
Yeah.
I love the melody of the de-doodle bit. It's quite good. Whew, she's thick.
What the heck? Smell, give that a smell. Okay.
It can't smell like tuna again.
What's going on?
Mine smells like a slightly less coffee-ish lager. So I'm curious if we are going to get, what are we expecting here? German style. It does not have roasted grain flavors of a black beer. It has chocolate, coffee, or vanilla. So
that looks good.
Are they right if we get one of those three? I don't like this and or stuff.
I'm not getting much smell again, but look at the head.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, she frothy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brimming. I think.
Did you read the can? Am I deaf? Did you read the can while I was trying to?
I did. I think I've read it a couple of times now. Going over it again. Black beer from Germany, but unlike British style dark ales, this German style does not display the roasted grain flavors and aromas found in stouts. Instead, it's a chocolate, coffee, or vanilla.
Oh yeah, you did say that.
But why is it or? Because I think you've done something. Did you dip your hands in fish? Specifically tuna fish recently?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hasn't been a problem? Hasn't been an issue?
It's a dark lager thing, Rebecca said. This is significantly darker to the eye than the darker lager there. I've got a feeling this is going to be significantly maltier than
this one has won awards. So this will tell us whether or not we're supposed to be getting more of a malty flavor.
Yes.
Because I don't think we have been.
Okay. Well, I don't think they're the same beer. Not the same beer, I beg your pardon. I don't think they're particularly the same style of beer, Ross. But hey, what do I know? I'm just British. I'm ready to try this. Are you?
I need to send you that song. I'm British. We start every sentence with an apology. I'm sorry, but that's just the way that it's going to be. I have to send you some British rap. Cheers.
That's more like it.
That is more like it.
Oh, yes. Oh, Yeah, that's roasted. It's maltier.
Unlike German style, it does not display roasted grain flavors.
Well, balls, because I'm getting total roasted. Yep.
I call shenanigans on that one. There is so much roasted flavor in this, but I kind of dig it.
It's really roasty.
Really roasty. Are you getting coffee, chocolate, or vanilla?
I'm getting definitely coffee and chocolate. Vanilla, no. In fact, it's like a bitter chocolate to it with a little bit of coffiness. Vanilla, no. I'm not getting any of that, but I don't think my taste buds are trained for vanilla because I've read so many times that there's notes of vanilla in beer, and now I'm like, no, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I like vanilla ice cream. I can always taste that, but maybe that's where my I've eaten too much cheap Atlantic Superstore ice cream in 4-liter tubs.
I thought you were going to completely throw down and make fun of Atlantic Canada's some sort of food, but okay.
Yeah.
We've mostly strayed away.
It is roasty.
It is a bit roasty, mostly at the end. Up front, it's maltier. It's definitely got more flavor. The roastiness in the end is the only thing that gives it a little bit of a still on the tongue.
There's real flavor to that because I found the other one. I don't want to keep harping back to
lacking.
It, but I just found it, just a bit, just a bit pissy. A bit like, come on, give it some. Give us some flavor. This one's got bags of flavor, at least.
Yeah, it definitely has a bit more oomph to it. I feel like it's being slightly overtaken at the tailors. They're like, yes, this is a nice malty. And then all of a sudden, here, have some. The roast is a bit of an overtake at the end. And then I'm left with nothing but this smoky, smoky roast flavor. Oh, we need to get into that Rauch beer. And then we'll talk about smoky beer. I haven't found one to compare it with yet. The good old smoke beer.
I think I'm still in awe of that dog.
Bar Dog Stout.
Bar Dog Stout last week was just amazing.
Yep.
It was just amazing. The best beer I've had in several years. It was so
definitely
good.
The best dark beer we've had in a while.
Oh God, yeah. I'm looking forward to, I guess, going back to Edinburgh in a couple of weeks because I'm sure my brother's going to take me to a couple of places and have a pint of that and have a pint of that. You'll like that. But if it's even half as good as that Bar Dog was, it was just the best beer. Wonderful. This is good, but clearly
it's pretty good, but it's weird. This is still in this weird thing of, it's a lager, but it's black. Try a black lager. Try this. I don't know why I'm Australian, but I am. Give it a go.
We're all doing Australian accents. Would you like to try this one? This is really good.
You can only drink this one if you're talking with an Australian. I don't know why we've decided between Uncle Leo's.
We'll end Russian because that's how this goes, isn't it, by the end of it. So we always end up Russian. And you throw in a bit of your Scottish, Ross.
Now and then.
That's good, isn't it?
It's better.
It's better. She says, Betty, it's better.
Better than the other?
It's better than the other?
I agree. It is definitely better than the other. To a description or to mine palate? That's the question. But I think, because the funny thing is, this one says that it does not bother, it doesn't do the roasted grain. Roasted grain, get out. And I'm thinking, I think I like this one because of the roasted grain that seems to accidentally still be in there. So was there a bit of a misstep here saying, oh, not so much roasted grain, but oh.
So you're saying it's not doing what it says on the can. So you're going to, inevitably, you're going to mark it down for that.
It says no roasted grain, and it's almost all roast.
That's the flavor I'm getting.
Yowza, it is. Poof. Now, does it say less? Does not display the roasted grain flavors. It seems pretty displayed. I mean, I might not know the wording for each, if the upfront flavor is display and the second flavor is, second curtain and the third round is the encore, maybe. Let's just start doing that. The bows, the denouement, what's that one? the climax towards the end where all the characters come into mesh. You studied playwriting and Shakespeare, obviously.
Well, yeah, but when I was like 18 years old, though, you know, you're going back an awful long way.
Well, someone asked me to speak French the other day, and I haven't studied French since I was 15. And I was able to say that in French.
I did do theater studies at school 2 years at A level, which means nothing to you, but it would mean something to your parents. And then I quit 3 months before I was due to take my A level tests exams to join the Air Force. So I threw in the towel. I went, it's far easier just to not go through exams. I'm just going to join.
What would you have had if you'd done these A levels? Would you have, like, say, the equivalent of sort of a degree in theater?
No. It would not be a degree, Ross. No, okay. But it is actually classed as slightly further education than regular graduation at school.
So you'd A-level theater studies.
Yeah, English and theatre studies is what I majored in at school. I majored in from 16 to 18. Those were my two A levels. Whereas most people were doing sensible things like, I don't know, chemistry and math, that you may be able to use. And I was like, no, I'm going to do English and theatre studies.
I wanted to do theatre studies. I came to Acadia, and I remember having this conversation with this academic. He was a friend. He was the dad of a close friend of mine in high school. And so this would be about grade 12. I'd done my walk around at Acadia, and I really loved the campus. And he said, so you're graduating this year. Have you looked at colleges? I said, yeah, we went up to see Acadia. And he said, well, what did you think? I said, loved it. Would love to go there. He said, oh, what are you thinking of taking? And I said, well, I'm kind of flipped. I'm tossed between taking theater or computer science. Because I really loved, I was taking drama courses in high school. They were bad, but I was curious about it. I wanted to do more. And he said, okay, well, why those two? And I said, well, they both, you know, I find them interesting. I'm curious about computer science, just as I'm curious about learning more about theater and being on stage. And, you know, it's the personality's all in there. And I said, but I think I'm going to lean towards computer science because there's a better chance of having a job at the end of it. And he, this man, an academic, right? So he's, like, got a master in, I don't know, the Prussian War or something in history, and that's it. He says, oh, and he just gives me this shake of the head saying, oh, not following your passion. Oh, just not. He's not.
Yeah.
He's just, see, this kid over here is not following his passion. What is this?
Yeah.
I was so curious about computers, though. I just wanted to teach me the thing and tell me the stuff. It ended up being a lot more math focused, which kind of burnt me out, but that's another long sordid story. But I chose not to do theater studies because I didn't think it would employ me ever.
And I think you're probably right, because it's really tough to get in. And let's be honest, Ross, neither you nor I are ever going to be the leading man in Hollywood. We're going to be the awkward, weird character person that comes on, and people like, oh, they're good, but they're not. He ain't Brad Pitt.
Were we discussing this last week where I had auditioned for these stupid minor roles in like a voice show, voice acting auditions and whatnot? And they always say, oh, do video. We want to see your facial expressions. I said, I really think my voices are much better than my face. I have a face for radio. So this is why this is a podcast. And you can watch the video afterwards. But honestly, no, just listen to it. Just listen to the sultry sounds of my Luther Vandross Barry White voice.
But I love
it. Oh, baby.
Voice right now, because I think you're probably...
It does help.
It is nice, though, to be able to do our passion not for fun, and not maybe we're never going to earn any money out of it. But of course, you are in your primary field now that you went to university for. So at least you're making a living doing what you went for, because there are plenty of people that follow their passion into theatre or into or go to RADA or whatever. I don't bloody know. They go to acting school, they go to film, and then they can't get a job because it's so difficult to get into TV and films unless you are extremely lucky.
And it doesn't even come down to the scholastics of it. You know, when you get discovered as a wait staff in Hollywood, no one ever says, let's see your curriculum vitae. Where did you get your degree in theater studies? And you go, oh, goodness, it's in my other pocket, it's in my other pants. I'm terribly sorry. But what happened to me was, oh God, I need, holy cow, stupid voice.
Yeah.
Some of the voice acting things and things that I auditioned for, there was one, and it was a TV or a series or something role. And it was an on-camera role. And it said, oh, minor part. And I said, ah, minor part, that's me. And I said, we need, you need to do a British accent. And I said, well, because I thought, you're in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You don't know what a proper British accent sounds like anyway. So whatever. And then, so I had to play this, like a heavy, you know, this muscle guy who comes in and, you know, I've got, you know my voice, you know the one that I'm going to do. Is like, oh, hello there. Oh, look. Oh, muscles, is it? All right, fine. We'll take him out back and we'll rough him up. You go right to that voice. I've got the voice for it.
You certainly intimidated me.
Didn't get the part. So, you know, and it's, so I decided you that...
Me, Ross, I'd have come and done that. I've done a bunch of that.
I don't have the face for the lead role. I don't have the voice. Well, I don't have the voice for anything right now, but I don't have the voice for the lead role either. I am a bit part stupid additional thing. Because we do, I mean, we talk about beer for an hour and we do about six different voices. We wander in and out of Australian. Well, all of our bad racist voices come in and out. But we've got some other ones as well. I feel like, and especially as acting wise, I think we enunciate quite well. And it's, I think it would come across as a, in an animated feature. The likes of Shrek or Anastasia. I don't know why I chose that one, but I did. Oh, because of Bartok.
Or as my girlfriend just said, you could certainly pull off Master Wayne.
Is your impression.
If you want, that is no problem.
All I wanted was to sit at my favourite restaurant and to look across and see you sitting there having a drink. I couldn't be there for you. Your parents.
Oh, Michael.
I'm really enjoying this beer. I'm a little bit annoyed that it's disappeared on me. It evaporated while I was...
Do you know what I was going to say? It's not growing on me. It's staying. No, it's staying as slightly, it's mildly difficult to drink, and that roasted back end is. It's just hitting me the wrong way. There's something that's just not sticking right with that. I appreciate that this is an award-winning. And again, did it say what categories it won? It just won. A silver and a gold.
Reason, because you know what? They don't brew it anymore, so there's... That's
not we can say what we like. stuff your stupid can and stuff your stupid beer.
Yeah, but there can't be that many of them left, but I really like it. An awful lot more than the... And I really thought it was going to be the other way around. I thought North were going to blow my socks off with the with that dark, the way it was...
Well,
the way they described it. I thought that was going to really win me over, and it didn't.
But I've started being skeptical about coffee advertisings. So this is going to taste like roasted coffee. And I think, ooh, you've burnt it, haven't you? You've burnt it, mate. It's all just burnt. Do you know what fascinates me? Now that we get to the bottom of this one, we've still got the bottom of the Dartmouth Dark. I'm so curious how they're going to compare now. I need another mouthful of the Noctical Illusion.
It's full of flavor. It's malty. It's sweet. It's kind of roasty. It's malty, and it's really thoroughly, really delicious for me. Whereas the Dartmouth Dark, it's going to taste now I've had all that flavor in there. The Dartmouth Dark is going to taste like piss water.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
No. I'm not going to enjoy this anymore. No.
I'm going to put this beer right back down. After I drink it on a sidewalk cafe in Paris as I'm waiting for Master Wayne. Do you want to? Okay.
second. No, just a second. I just want to get my 5 cents worth in. I am going to drink the last dregs of this Dartmouth dark, Master Wayne, and I'll tell you what I think of it straight afterwards.
It was such a good night to do lots of stupid
it's
voices.
Different. It's different. It's actually... It is like a sour now because of the maltiness.
Yes!
And
the other one.
Yes!
Is that the dried fruit? Did they just say, oh, crap, it's sour. Quick, say dried fruit. Say stone fruit. Say peach. Say anything. Hold a boombox above your head. Say anything! No one gets that.
That's quite... It's. I can't even talk. Is what I just said then when I had that last bit. It's
ooh.
It's very fruity. It's
okay,
very
yeah. It's unwelcome fruit, but it's fruity. I'm sticking to that. I'm sticking to saying that is an 8 out of 10. The Dartmouth Dark from North is an 8 out of 10 dark lager. It's like a 6 personally, if that. I don't like it. But now, this one, the Nocturnal Illusion, is much higher up there for like an 8.8, 8.9. Closing on the 9. But from a personal standpoint, still just like a 7.
Okay.
But on the scale of here's where I place the dark lagers, it's better either or. I would drink this over the Dartmouth Dark. But I think when you're saying this is, you know, if you give this to the formal judge of a dark lager competition, who in this case is, well, let's say, pick a name out of the hat, Michael Caine.
Yeah.
And you give it to him, and he would say, yes, this is obviously the superior dark lager of the two. My thoughts exactly on Michael Caine.
I would agree with you on that. Absolutely, 100%. 100% now. I have to agree with you on that.
I agree. With Michael.
Dude. I told you to throw the doors off. That's a classic. I can't remember.
Which one that one's from? Oh, I know what that is. I know what that is. Oh, I know what that is.
I only told you to blow the bloody doors off.
No, it's gone. What's that from?
The Italian Job.
Oh. I think I only ever watched that once. But you know what I watched more than once?
Sure.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, that's really good.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't like it the first time I saw it. I didn't understand what was going on. Oh, well, I was like 10 the first time I think I saw Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. I was like, I'm watching a Steve Martin movie. How come he's not like making fart noises and stuff? How come, what's going on here? It was a very confusing 5 years for me between the ages of like 15 and 20 when I went from fart humor is the best to cerebral humor is the best. And do you know what did it for me and has always been my looking down my nose at other people? Whenever I hear someone say, oh, I love Monty Python, you say, oh, what's your favorite? And they're going to say one of two things. If they like fart, if they like fart humor, it's going to be oh my God, I can't even think of it right now.
A movie or a sketch?
Movie-wise. It was,
they're going to love creosote. They're going to love The Meaning of Life.
No, these are people who just love The Quest for the Holy Grail.
Oh, the Holy Grail is wonderful.
It is, but Life of Brian is better because it's so much smarter with all you're sitting there watching the humor going, oh man, that's good. Oh, that's good. But the Quest for the Holy Grail, you know what I mean? It's just a bit more younger, unrefined. I don't want to even say unrefined. I'm not even sure what I'm trying to say here, but there's a difference between when you're young, you laugh at a guy getting his legs chopped off. And when you're older, you laugh at political satire about a guy spelling Latin grammar wrong and being corrected on it for an entire night. I laughed my face off at that. That was wonderful. So when I meet people, I know what kind of sense of humor I'm getting into if they give me the two different responses to what's your favorite Monty Python movie.
And which Monty Python fan has ever looked you in the eye and said, the meaning of life is their favorite of the three Monty Python movies?
I don't know. I've immediately tuned them out and stopped talking to them. They're up there with the people who say things like, which one of them is named Monty Python?
Oh, yeah. Which one is? Is it Graham or is it John?
Yes, yeah, a tall one.
I'm going to take my beer and I'm going to go.
This was, especially after the sour, getting better. But I'm standing by all my numbers. I can't remember if Ian gave me his numbers. I need to outro this quick because my voice is leaving me. Hopefully the voice is back next week. Hopefully we're going to attempt for something a little bit different next week. And I'm going to keep reaching out for guests. So thank you for joining us. Thank you to Ian and Rebecca for their Michael Caine impressions. And if you were listening, thank you again. Check out our... replay goes over there to Facebook. We're live every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on facebook.com. I don't know why I said that, but if you check the drinkns.unsupervised.beer site, that's where some of the other information is. And you can look us up on the podcast on any place that you find podcasts available. Amazon, Spotify, Google, and Apple. I think those are the four major ones. But thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Oh, Ross, don't go.
We're apparently not done yet.
Don't throw those bloody spears at me.
Okay, I guess now we're done.